listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are, ladies and gentlemen, and I am guilty of being Michael Sterling.
And I want my Maypo.
Oh, I thought you wanted your money back. I don't know.
I want my Maypo. Do you remember that
commercial? Yes, I do, sadly.
It was like a maple-flavored oatmeal. I'm showing my age here. Do you remember that product?
I do, vaguely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I don't really want it. It was just sort of something I said rather than saying my name, which, as you know, I'm very uncomfortable with. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our weekly live arts calendar ball. You know that, of course.
Yes, we are. And joining us in studio today, a man who began his acting career on the Chicago stage. He has portrayed a sociopath and Superman. He plays guitar and he keeps housewives desperate. Here to talk about his role as Slim in the award-winning feature, Karaoke Man, please welcome James Denton.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks. No, sit down. Really. Sit down. Jamie. Come on, please.
That was how many?
They sat down quick.
How many busloads of people was that you brought with you?
That
Jamie?
Was all my family from Tennessee.
Really?
They came in, for this today. So thanks, guys.
I know, because their luggage was coolers.
Nice. So it was, their luggage was the cooler with the duct tape around it.
Exactly. But not our only guest today.
No, not at all. Also joining us in studio and joining James on the big screen, a talented young actress, singer, and songwriter, whom you may have seen in MTV's The Hard Times of Berger, cast as RJ's new love interest, Amy. Did I say that right? RJ Berger.
The Hard Times of RJ Berger.
No. Cast as RJ's new love interest, Amy. But she's here today, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about her role as Glennis in Karaoke Man. Please welcome Caitlin Crosby.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, you're so adorable. She is, and such a lovely young lady. We had a tiny little scene together, which ended up on the cutting room floor, damn it. Yes.
Paul Strolley's in Karaoke Man.
I think we might have that clip.
Do we?
No. Anyway.
What were you, Gray Suit? That your character? Was it Gray Suit for a while, wasn't it?
Phil. I gave him a name to personalize him.
Oh, did you?
Yes. Technically,
that bump you right up.
He's Gray Suit, but he became Phil.
That bump you right up
if
you have a name?
It did, yeah. I got a better rate.
Caitlin is not appearing with me in Karaoke Man. It's her movie.
No.
I'm in about 4 scenes of it. So I have to make that clear.
No.
Yeah. And you were just wonderful in it. We got to see it at the screening that was at Raleigh Studios. There's a lot of screenings of it going on, but we'll get to that.
What studios?
Well, it was at Raleigh Studios. The first screening that we saw.
Raleigh?
What, did I say anything? You're mocking me.
No, you were mocking me. It's Raleigh.
What?
Raleigh.
What did I say?
Raleigh. Yeah.
Raleigh? Okay.
That's good. It's all right.
I'm so sorry.
I knew where you meant.
I don't have the cashmere vocal cords like you do, Michael.
Just giving you a bad time.
Michael orders at the drive-thru window and I get aroused. It's just I'll have the
mellifluous tones.
Arch Deluxe.
The honey-throated, Michael.
Anyway. There you go. So how was your week, Michael?
It was good. Went to a new musical, which we'll talk about later, Bring It On at the Onsen Theater, based on that motion picture back in 2000 with Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, okay.
And that was quite something to see.
Yeah,
it was fun. Great fun. A good, productive week and all of that. How about your week?
It was good. Was
Did you buy any fudge this week?
I was trying to...
Oh!
Did you listen last week?
I'm a regular listener.
It was last week. Regular listener, first time caller.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a karaoke story to share, actually.
Yeah.
I thought it would be a good thing to share.
I think it's certainly.
Because I figure the theme of the show is... I didn't buy any fudge, to answer
Thank you.
Your question.
Just ignored me.
Sorry. No, I'm not.
I wanted to hear the fudge lady's voice.
Read the cards, man. Read the cards.
The fudge lady's voice was just like that.
Oh, no. No, you gotta leave it out. You gotta just. So I just put it in the refrigerator. Christ, no! This was a story that I told last week, which out of context it was exactly that.
Driving through Arizona, right? It's like when you see giant bat.
Yeah.
On the side of the road, yeah.
Giant bat?
Yeah, giant bat. There's this giant bat in a building on the side of the road in Arizona, and it's right by the fudge thing. I'm not kidding.
Do you know this area? You know this place?
Oh, absolutely.
I've decided that Arizona is the land of the vibrating pager. Because every restaurant you go to in Arizona, it doesn't matter if it's like a mom or pop place or whatever, you're handed one of those damn flashing pagers and there'll be no one in the place. And you're just like, it's 40 minutes everywhere. just go to the bar and drink.
At least it's
while
just
our
a
empty dining room
pager.
And wait, so your vibrating pager goes off. So we're ready. You become friggin' sheep. It's just like, I'm ready for my bloomin' onion. Yeah. Anyway, no, my very, very briefly, my karaoke story. I discovered karaoke the same time I discovered bourbon. So it was not a good combination. And I'm telling you that it should just say on the bourbon bottle, do not take with karaoke.
Okay.
Because it was not good. And I have a karaoke standby that I do, which is a great old 50s song called Hang On Sloopy.
Okay, I know that song.
Sloopy came. It's a great song. And I usually do that one. That's my standby. That and my Neil Diamond retrospective.
Oh,
those are the two
really?
That I do.
Okay.
Because I love the way Neil Diamond says ER, because it's not an ER sound. It's a UH sound. She was a lady as deep as the river. So it's no ER. She was a lady and I was a dreamer. Always. So anyway, I did my Sloopy song and had a little too much solace in the grape when I was, that evening.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day I get a call from a friend of mine and say, you were great last night doing the karaoke. It was awesome. I said, well, I love that Hang On Sloopy song. He goes, yeah, that was good too. Like, good too, apparently, got so annihilated that I closed the place with MacArthur Park.
Oh, my.
Perfect.
And had no memory of it.
And no matter what time you did MacArthur Park, it closed the place.
It closed the place, yeah.
Exactly. But it was 8:30, but it still closed the place.
Do you know the song MacArthur Park? It's this
Remind me. Can you remind me?
Someone left the cake out in the rain.
What about the chorus?
Very famous. Richard Harris.
Well, Richard Harris sort of spoke. Yeah, you have to. It is quite possibly the cheesiest song ever recorded. Look it up on the internet.
And
imagine me doing it in pair.
It's also ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I don't think that I can take it because it took so long to bake it. And I'll never have a recipe again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're closing the place.
That was the Donna Summer version right there.
She did cover it, didn't she?
Yes, she did. She did. Wow. Anyway, let's enough about my karaoke story.
Okay.
You want to give Mr. Denton the intro he truly deserves.
All right, I will. While our first guest might be best known for his role as Mike Delfino on the smash hit Desperate Housewives, he has actually been one of Hollywood's busiest actors since arriving in Los Angeles 15 years ago. With key roles in the films Face Off, Primary Colors, and That Old Feeling, on television he was a series regular on Philly and the lead investigator in ABC's terrorist drama Threat Matrix, with guest appearances on JAG, Reba, The Drew Carey Show, I saw you on Reba, Two Girls and a Guy, Ally McBeal, and The West Wing. When he's not acting, you can find him singing and playing guitar with Band From TV, a group of actors and musicians who donate all proceeds to charity. Please welcome James Denton.
I've got the David Caruso music. I love
that. Like
that.
Yeah, I'll
whip my sunglasses off when that music comes on.
Exactly.
And then put them back on again.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Hey, you are so welcome. Thank you for coming right from the set, right? You worked today?
I did work today, if you loosely defined
work.
But I did. I was drinking beer at the construction site with Charles Mazur, who's a really great actor who's new on the show this year from New Zealand, from the show V. It was boys at the set today, which is a little bit easier than having the women there because it's...
Really?
Well, it's just low maintenance.
You're going to give us a soundbite for this so we can blackmail you?
Well, just into hair and makeup. Don't even bother coming to the set. And, we just like, we're easier and it's quicker. And, it's just because the show's not about us. That's all. Don't try to read anything into that.
We're
already canceled. What can they do? Fire me? Let me tell you what... sorry.
No, seriously. I mean, let's bring that up because Mother Love, he just met, Paul in the lobby.
I saw it. Nuts. Jeez, wanted to hose him off.
But it is the last year. Any thoughts on that? I mean, is it odd for you? Are you kind of looking forward to the little bit of time off?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I The main reason it's strange is because I have two kids now that I've had since the show started, basically. Right. So I've never, it's one thing to be a starving artist or actor when you're single and it's your life you're screwing up. But now that we're, you know, going to go off the air and I've got, wait, I have kids now. I can't be unemployed. What do you mean I have to go audition? So it's a little scary. But artistically, you know, it's, I never would have left the show because it's been so great, obviously. I mean, it's, we've been really, really lucky. But as an actor, you've got to at some point move on or your career's passed you by. You can't play the same guy forever. Sure. So it's kind of exciting to go see what else is out there and test the waters. And I never would have done it on my own. So it's a good thing that they're, you know, canceling us and pushing us out of the nest.
I would imagine that it's tough, too. I mean, the fact that you were able to do Karaoke Man, which was so great, but that your schedule is such that you have to, these things have to be scheduled way in advance, and you have to have some downtime between the show.
I mean, yeah, it's hard, really hard to do anything else. You know, people like Felicity Huffman, they'll schedule a movie in her hiatus. You know what I mean? Because if they want Felicity, they'll do it in June and July when we're off.
Right, when she's
off. Yeah, exactly. Or if you're, you know, the people on Friends, they did that for big stars. But for a guy like me, you know, you have to get whatever you can, whatever crams in that little period. So I haven't really done much since the show's been on the air because we don't get a lot of time off. But Karaoke Man was great because I had so many friends involved, you know, the writer and director and the producers. And so I got to... it's one reason I'm not in it as much as I wanted to be because they had to cram all my work onto about 3 days right before we started shooting in July.
Oh, really?
It's such a fun movie, and the role it was a really fun little role. And it was
It
was a fun set to be on.
And we'll talk to Caitlin about Karaoke Man too. Yeah. But to kick it off, can you give the listeners a little bit of a synopsis on it just so they can sort of get the
Karaoke Man?
Yeah.
Wow. Gosh, it's about...
Questions get harder as we continue.
They do, yeah. So you guys are really grilling me. I feel
Michael's
like Rick Perry.
Up something shiny.
There are three reasons. The first one... Wait. No. It's hard. You don't want to oversimplify it. I mean, to oversimplify it, it's about a guy, sort of naive kid who moves to the big city to be a cartoonist for a comic book. Right. And he falls for a girl at a karaoke bar. And to try to get closer to her, he's sort of forced to... get into that scene, and he's very introverted, and it's really sweet and romantic, and the acting is fantastic. I don't mean me, but Caitlin and Brian Dietzen. Yeah, so it's a really great romantic comedy.
It really is.
Like I said, it's hard to describe because there really is nothing like it.
Well, it's hard to describe because there's a sweet subtleness to it that is not... It's a romantic comedy that's not cloying. You know, it's just really genuine. The characters are very real people, and I think that that's something that... I mean, how do you impart to people, like, it's a romantic comedy, but they're real characters. You know, they just, it's really just a little gem of a movie. Yeah. And judging by the response that it's getting on the festival circuit, I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, I only have some of them here, but I mean, Best Comedy, Prometheus Film Festival, Audience Choice, White Sands, Best Narrative at the Offshoot Film Festival. Caitlin, you got an award for Outstanding Performance by an Actress, also at Offshoot, the opening night film there. It's just really just cleaning up.
Well, you know, I drove to the studio this afternoon, I took another look. I'd seen it quite a while ago when it first came out, the little clip that is on the film that's on YouTube, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at it on YouTube. And just, you know what they say, if something doesn't grab you within the first 30 seconds,
right,
it's probably not going to. But this grabs you right as it starts. It just kind of... sucks you into it, and it was totally fascinating. I mean, I rewatched it and thought, wow, this is really good.
Yeah, they cast really good people. There's some very funny smaller roles. All the characters are great, and so when you ask what it's about, you can't really start with, even though Brian's fantastic, it's not really about the guy that is Karaoke Man, ultimately.
Right.
It's really, there's Glennis's story, and there's all these other great characters, so it's a real ensemble piece. And actually, it's the music is a huge part of it too.
Right.
That's the other thing. It's not just a romantic comedy. You know, Caitlin's got original music throughout, and it's all really great stuff. So it's almost a musical too, in a way. So it's unique that way.
The music is a character in it too. We actually have a clip that we'll play later on when we talk to Caitlin about it, called Mount Everest, which is a song that you do.
Is her microphone off? Are we just going to keep alluding
anything
to her and,
oh, wait
and pointing
a
to her?
We have a call. We have a caller. Should we take it? We have a caller. This is State of the Arts. You've called in. Thank you for joining us. Do you have something to say about Karaoke Man?
Yeah, actually, I do. I saw it. Gosh, great movie.
Oh, great.
There was just this, it's just a great movie. Very, very funny. Very cute, very romantic. But there was this one guy, I'm not sure his name, he wore a gray suit.
Oh.
And he had this singing part. He was just phenomenal.
I see.
Phenomenal. For me,
and that,
it was the highlight.
To you, that
of the
was
film.
The highlight. Wow, that's
a highlight.
Really? You know, I think we actually might have that soundbite here.
That'd be great.
You're talking about. Let's just see if we can find it here on our audio here on the.
So sad and lonely.
Wow, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm actually watching that YouTube clip. It's really moving.
Anyway, just wanted to give it a shout out.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, unsolicited caller.
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I have no idea who that was.
I tried to recognize the voice, but I couldn't.
No, but happily you will be able to hear someone who sings far, far better than that when we play Caitlin's clip later on when we chat with her. So.
But that's not surprising because we did have the screening here, and we, you know, a lot of people have seen it, and it's we've been really happy with the response to it because you just never know with a really small, it's a very small budget independent film that it's a, you know, it's a labor of love, and you hope people like it, and the reaction's just been great.
You know what it is? It's sort of like you look at these movies that, especially romantic comedies that try to mirror life and try to replicate life, and the great thing about this movie, and I think why people are embracing it so much, is that it's sort of a mirror to life, but it's a bit of a funhouse mirror. It's a little bit twisted, it's a little bit of an angle, and it's just a quirky angle that you're watching this little world. And I think that reflects the quirkiness of the main character. You're sort of seeing it through his eyes. It's just a tiny little bit off, and it's just off enough to really pull an audience in and really grab them and make it very intriguing.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to put your finger on why it's so unique, but you know it is. And you know that's sort of what you're after, in a way.
And your director, Mike Petty, is in the studio with us today.
He won't speak, but he's
he won't
he's
speak,
in the corner.
But he's sitting there like a gentleman. But I think it's kind of cool, Mike, that your bio says you're a former Washington, D.C. based reporter. In the serious kind of big league of media.
Petty's the Harpo of directors.
So
he left the bicycle horn in the lobby, so you won't get much of a response from him. But he'll nod fervently.
Yeah, wrote it and directed it. So,
wrote it and directed it.
Along with Kevin Gazowski. Did I say Kevin's last name correctly?
Yep, they co-wrote it.
With Kevin.
And Mike directed it. So,
this is his first attempt at a feature, though, right?
Well, yeah,
we did short films before. And...
I did a short that he directed years ago, and saw a playwright. I've been in a number of his plays, and so we go way back. So it was fun to finally be in a movie that we got on the big screen.
And how long did it take to shoot the film?
We shot it in 2 days.
17 months.
It's hard to believe.
Slow
What was it? 12 days? Maybe 18 total by the time we got everything shot. Yeah, so really, really quick.
Well, that's phenomenal.
It's just like asking Seabiscuit for it. How much is that? 1, 2, 3, 4.
He stomped 18 times. Took a while.
Before I forget, let's put this out in the world because this is important. It's going to be at the St. Louis Film Festival this Saturday, November 14th at 4 o'clock p.m. at the Tivoli Theater. That is at 6350 Del Mar Boulevard in St. Louis. Once again, it's this Saturday, November 19th at 4 at the Tivoli Theater. Advance tickets for programs at this venue are on sale at the Tivoli box office. That's from 5 to 10 Monday through Friday and 2 to 10 on Saturday and Sunday. And for tickets online, visit tickets.landmarktheaters.com. That's tickets.landmarktheaters.com. For online landmark sales, and then this is important, they want us to stress this, click on Showtime and not the film title to purchase the tickets.
And we'll be there.
Caitlin
and I are going to St. Louis.
Are you?
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Love the Q&As. It's like live DVD extras right there.
It is, sort of.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. You get that little thing. Just love the Q&A.
Yeah.
I'm, oddly enough, never asked to do it.
Oh, you really?
I know. Kel Surprise.
Come in and sing.
Something like that. Yeah. No, they bring me in to sing when they want to clear the audience for the next screening. me and Yoko.
Get them out quick.
Me and Yoko.
That's not true. Didn't you used to be a warm-up guy?
Yeah.
You warmed up audiences for the Jenny Jones Show.
Is
that right?
I did.
You win a new car for that.
Hey, that was a lifetime ago, Michael. I should win a new car. That was like 1962?
I never referred to it as warming up the audience. I referred to it as chumming the water.
For Jenny.
I dumped the blood in, and all the sharks came, and then the show hit. You know?
That's what happened.
That's a reflection on Jenny's audience, not Jenny herself. Jenny herself is a doll and a very, very sweet woman.
Yeah.
Just love her.
What happened? What's she doing now? I don't know.
She's doing all of these philanthropic efforts. She's got all this stuff going on. She's donated these mammogram vans to lower income neighborhoods to do, you know, mammograms for lower income women and all this other stuff. Yeah. She's got all this stuff
really
going on.
Really nice lady. But is that the only show you warmed up for? That's a tough job warming up.
I did warm up there. I did warm up for Loveline for a while out here, that TV show Loveline. Yeah. But warm up is tough. Warm up is brutal. I was okay at it, but I've seen some of these guys that they just crackle. They just really know what they're doing.
Yeah, they have all those guys at sitcom tapings.
Those guys could kill 3 hours. They're really good.
Well, Paul, I beg to differ with you. I think you do a great job at anything. And, for example, speaking of awards here, I just want to point out, you saw Kvetch, right?
Oh, yeah.
The play, Kvetch.
Fantastic.
She's got a Broadway World Award nomination, 2011 awards, for his portrayal in that
Thank
play.
Thank you very much.
As well as the play getting a nomination for Best Play in Los Angeles,
We got very lucky with Broadway World. Thank you, Michael.
Seaglass got several nominations.
We got nominated for Of Grapes and Nuts last year, too.
That's right.
I mean, not last year. It's still in their cycle. And Kimberly...
Kimberly Van Leeuwen
and Ian Vogt both got nominated for Grapes, and Kimberly got nominated for Kvetch, too.
So Seaglass has done four shows now? Three of them got raves, except for one that I won I was in, right?
No. Oh, yeah.
I think the one Seaglass show that the Desperate Housewives guy was in was the only one that went right in the crapper.
Only an L.A. Weekly Award winner for Best New Play.
How Sissy Grew?
Yes.
That's
right. You know, if you're going to trash
your
own,
that was a long time ago.
Include the awards. Include the awards. Yes, won L.A. Weekly. Susan Johnson won L.A. Weekly Award for Best New Play.
Oh, great.
For How Sissy Grew. And what are you saying?
Good theater company. Seaglass Theater Company.
Yes.
I was in the maiden voyage, the inaugural production.
You were.
It's great.
You were. And I remember it fondly. And when you talk about this.
That was just our time in the
And when you
room.
Talk about this, and you will, be kind.
There's a police record. What can I do about it?
What can you do? What can you do? So you were you're doing the Q&A after.
Yeah, we're going to St. Louis this weekend for the festival.
And who's
going to
be there for the Q&A?
Caitlin Crosby and myself. Brian Dietzen was going to, but he's on CSI. Is that the show he's on or NCIS? NCIS. Brian's on, and he has to work.
Lame.
His lame top five TV show.
Scotland Brand is going to be there, right?
No one watches that show.
Catherine Gordon?
Catherine Gordon. I think she's local. Catherine's another great actress
Catherine
in the movie
Gordon?
That I think is from St. Louis.
And is Bug Hall going to be there?
I don't know. Bug is hysterical in the movie.
I don't think
he's going to St. Louis.
I just love the name Bug Hall.
Bug Hall.
I just think that's truly one of the great actor names of all time, Bug Hall.
He plays Caitlin's boyfriend, right?
He played the douchebag boyfriend. And then Brian swoops in as like the real good
the
boyfriend.
Cool.
But he was Alfalfa in Little Rascals.
In the remake
in the
he
day.
Was?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's funny.
Oh my God. I'm checking that YouTube clip when I get home.
Yep.
Not the original.
No.
That would have been really
No, like the Macaulay Culkin.
Yes, her boyfriend is 106 years old.
You know what? In this town, you never know.
You have
you
never
to
ask.
Know. You don't
never
have
know.
To ask.
You never know.
Sorry.
So if you're in St. Louis, any chance,
yes,
because we are on the World Wide Web.
At the Tivoli Landmark.
Yeah, but just look up the St. Louis Film Festival, and it's easy to find. The Karaoke Man website, either one.
Okay.
Yeah, you can find us.
And a killer Facebook page, too.
That's true.
Interestingly enough, there's a cast list on the Facebook page with all the photos of the people in the cast. It's a nice little selection of photos. I think it's very impressive.
What photo did you use?
Who put that together?
What photo did you use?
I didn't use a photo. Mine isn't on the Facebook page.
Oh, it's not?
No, it's not. And I'm trying not to be bitter about that. I've submitted it 119 times. They won't accept me as a friend, Michael. They won't friend me. They will not. You know what I would like to... I have a question for you, Caitlin, but we have to do our arts calendar.
This is my time.
What?
It's not Caitlin's time yet.
Give him a fig Newton.
Desperate Housewives is canceled. I have 15 minutes. I'm going to use them all.
Damn it.
Yeah. I wasn't going to cuss. It's not my show.
You can cuss. It's actually internet ready. You could say whatever you want.
Yeah. Well,
we don't encourage.
No, we don't. Oh.
And I know that you're Southern, so it comes readily to you. But anyway, I have a question for you, Caitlin, before we get to your piece after our little break here.
Yep.
The song Mount Everest in the film, was that written for the film? Did you write that?
No, I actually wrote it before. I wrote it in Nashville, actually. Where Jamie's from.
It seems so suited.
Yeah.
No.
No. Yeah, no. I wrote it before, and
And you and it's just it's we're going to play a little clip of it. Actually, we can play a little clip of it now.
Love it.
And then we will not be able to play the whole thing right now, but we will certainly let it play us off the air. So let's give a little listen to this. This is Caitlin Crosby singing Mount Everest from the film Karaoke Man.
I had a dream to be a beauty queen, to fly and walk on the moon. I had a dream, I get picked for the team, I'm gonna get there soon. Cause I wanna climb Mount Everest, scream to the top of my lungs. Don't try to say it's impossible, don't wanna blend in with the rest.
Caitlin, nice. That is really beautiful.
Yes, it
really
is.
Thank you.
Love it.
While we played that little clip, Mike Petty, the director of the film, miraculously got the power of speech for 8 seconds. And he was able to share. He was actually able to share something interesting about the film that Mike mentioned that you submitted about 8 songs and to the project, and this one was just so suited and perfect for the film, and I agree.
Yeah, because I think. Someone was going to write songs for it or something, and then I was like, well, I'm working on my next album. I have some songs, like I just recorded them into my phone or little demos or whatever, I don't know. And so I just sent them to the team, and they picked out a couple that actually fit into the storyline. So it was actually kind of weird and perfect and meant to be.
Nice that it meant to be. Your website is your name, Caitlin? CaitlinCrosby.com?
Yes.
It is CaitlinCrosby.com, CaitlinCrosby.com, Crosby.com, and you have the one album, but you're working on a second one now with the guy from Glee, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the executive producer of Glee is working on your next one. Yeah.
Yeah.
You excited about that?
Yeah.
I can tell. Smile
louder for
the radio.
It's not, the deal isn't like totally signed yet, so that's why I was being weird for a second.
Oh, okay.
But that is... what's going to happen.
Okay, good. Well, good. I hope I didn't screw anything up for you there. It's okay.
And now everything is ruined.
I know people. I can hook you up with James Denton.
I met him.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry.
He used to be on TV.
We actually played together before all this.
We have.
Like a charity something, rather. I don't remember.
Yeah, and it was for a clinic in Kenya, I think. Yeah. It was Jesse Spencer's thing.
Yes.
From House.
Oh, yeah, Jesse Spencer, who plays fiddle.
I played on stage with Caitlin long before this. Kind of fun.
Yeah.
Well, I banged on the guitar behind her while she sang.
No. Mm-hmm. And Jesse Spencer played fiddle or violin.
Caitlin, do you sing only your own music?
Yes.
You don't go outside of that situation.
No, I don't really like performing. Like, doing American Idol would be, like, my worst nightmare because I just like singing songs about issues and stuff. Like, I like just closing my eyes and... you know, just saying the words, I guess, and communicating something, but I don't get so nervous. I'm too nervous to perform like a big song that someone else wrote and try to be all performy.
How well said.
I'm the same way, though, because people don't realize that I used to have tremendous, tremendous stage fright.
Yeah.
I actually wrote a one-person show in order to combat the stage fright that I had because I was just incapacitated by stage fright. And I was like, but I was watching those people on those shows like American Idol, and it's just like that would kill me. Yeah. I would be sitting on a milk crate in the corner, rocking back and forth like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. That's what I would be. Just meow, 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 meow. Take me to my happy place. Take me to my happy place. Should we do our arts calendar, Michael?
Yes.
Do you mind if I kick it off?
Please.
Excuse us, folks, while we pay the bills for a moment. Inspired by the true stories of homeless kids, The Playground takes you on an unrelenting journey beyond the glamorous world of Hollywood and onto the gritty streets of Los Angeles. Moving with pounding force, The Playground is bursting with original music from rock to blues and hip-hop that transcends the stage. This powerfully compelling edge-of-your-seat rock musical provides a sexy yet tragically beautiful yet hopeful look at just how far one is willing to go to survive. The Playground plays through December 18th at the Met Theater in Los Angeles.
Which is a great theater, by the way.
Is it?
Fantastic theater. Yeah. Yeah, it's a 99-seat theater, but you feel like you're in a theater that seats 300.
They've done musicals there before. They do those, right. The sort of like pared-down cabaret versions of musicals.
But very interestingly pared down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. And I, on the other hand, Paul, went to the opening of the much anticipated Bring It On.
Yes.
The musical.
Yeah, the Lin-Manuel Miranda, the Washington Heights guy. Did I get his name right?
Well, you did, and you said it, interestingly enough, the way that I've heard someone else say it. I always say Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote In the Heights.
Right.
You said Miranda, so perhaps I'm mispronouncing it. However,
all I know is that it was playing at Rally Studios.
That's where it all started,
yes.
I think. And not only is Lin responsible for music and lyrics, but he's also worked in tandem with a gentleman who has won a Pulitzer Prize and a Tony Award for his work in Next to Normal on Broadway, Mr. Tom Kitt. Amanda Green doing lyrics, and a wonderful team that is ultimately directed by Tony Award winning director Andy Blankenbuehler. The Amundsen Theater hosted this production, and it was pretty exciting, I must say, to see this this film, which it's not a direct translation of the film. It's just loosely based on the film. But, you know, it's very contemporary. It's spectacular technically, and it's a real meeting of musical theater meets athleticism on this stage.
And the Amundsen hosted this, you said?
Presented it.
Presented. Okay, okay.
And finding that medium in the middle of athletes who are gymnastic champions in their own field in high school and a little bit beyond that, you know, merging with musical theater performers and doing this phenomenal, well choreographed within an inch of its life. Every move is so specific, and throwing these people in the air and up into the grids, and
it's
breathtaking. Yeah. And you're kind of sitting on the edge of your seat all the time. And musically, it's very, very
waiting for a Spider-Man moment.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Musically, very, very contemporary. And as I said, based on the film, it's very larger than life, competitive cheerleading, if you will, and though it's hilariously. Exposes, you know, the sport's social mores, be that good, bad, or indifferent. The ultimate lesson being learned is that winning isn't everything. So there's a couple of storylines going on, but the weaving of the romance through the plot and the musical score is truly well performed, as I said, by this exquisite cast. And it is, I think this is a show, my consensus of this is it's a show that will be, it's the Legally Blonde of this period of time, you know, for the young kids. I mean, they're going to just lap this up.
Just go crazy.
And it's on. This is the beginning of a U.S. tour. It's 13 cities through North America. The ultimate prize being Broadway, if it does succeed there, which all things are pointing that it will.
But they're touring it more like a rock show than a stage piece, though.
No, not necessarily.
It's
very much as a book. It has a libretto, and it's got it all going for it. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in Los Angeles, you can certainly go down to the Music Center at the Amundsen Theater, the beautiful Amundsen Theater, and catch Bring It On, which is playing currently through December 10th. Center Theater Group's reservation line for tickets is 213 area code 972-4400 or online at their website, centertheatergroup.org.
And I'm sorry, Michael, did I cut you off?
Yeah, not at all.
For further information about any productions or events mentioned in today's State of the Arts live calendar, visit us during the week at stateoftheartsla.com. We also suggest you drop in at performingartslive.com, where you can search for Southern California events in several different categories happening every day of the week.
Indeed.
Now, our next guest released her debut album, Flaws, with a Z, in 2009 for the indie label Blackledge Music, distributed by Atlantic. Springboarding from the album's title track, she started www.loveyourflaws.com. Once again, Flaws has a Z rather than an S, so we're going to talk about that, which encourages teenagers and young adults to embrace their imperfections and gives them tools for a positive body image. And boy, is that something that is needed in this day and age. She is currently working with Adam Anders, executive producer, music producer for Glee, on her second record, her musical as well as acting talents are more than evident in her performance as Glennis in Karaoke Man. Please welcome the lovely and talented Caitlin Crosby.
Hello.
Hello, Caitlin.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
You've been having a good time so far?
Yes, you guys are hilarious. I just want to sit back and watch you guys talk and just having a great time.
You're just this effervescent person. You're just so bubbly, isn't she? And you're just like so.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think you're just like it. Well, shows in the film too. You can't fake that.
Oh, cool.
So now you're. tell me about before we get to the other stuff because I'm just intrigued that someone as young as yourself would be so actively minded with these with these things like Love Your Flaws and this website and thing. How did that come about? And with the album title, which was first, the chicken or the egg? Did you come up with the idea for the website after the album was released, or was it the other way around?
Oh, gosh, I don't even remember. But I don't even remember, honestly. But I started taking thousands and thousands of pictures of people holding up signs that said something about a flaw that they have, like, okay, my cellulite is hot, or my acne is sexy, or balding is the new whatever, you know.
Right.
And just thousands and thousands of pictures, and started this website. And then I had a few songs about that issue, too. And so at whatever point, decided to just call my whole album that.
So one just dovetailed into the
other.
Yeah,
I don't even know. But it actually started because this other movie I did with an actress, Brie Larson, she grew up in the entertainment industry, too, and was affected by a lot of that this stuff, too. And we're both really passionate about the subjects and the subject and how especially teenage girls are just, you know, bombarded with all these images and the media and the magazines and the billboards and models and all that. So we kind of tie in all, like, everything from, you know, bullying and, you know, just peer pressure, and just talk about all different types of subjects on the site. So
that's good. Yeah. Well, that's a wonderful thing to do, and I don't think there's enough young people doing that. I think that's a very admirable thing.
I agree.
Don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I encounter it all the time, because when you're as attractive as I am, it's difficult. You know, you have a standard to hold up to, you know?
And what standard would that be?
Just, I wish on the radio they could just hear your eyes rolling, Michael. You could hear the eye roll on that one. So, Karaoke Man, Caitlin, how did you? What was the experience like for you working on it? We only spent one day together working on it, but you seem to be just loving every minute of it, and it certainly, as I said, shows in the end result. Did you enjoy it as much as it appeared to be?
Yes, I really did. Yeah. I actually stopped acting for like 3 years before that. I was like, you cannot pay me $1 million to go on another audition, because I was kind of in music world and kind of in acting world, and I was just getting frustrated with the whole acting world and auditions and all that, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. So I just stopped and just went on tour, blah, 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 blah. Then met the director and everybody and Mike Petty and I heard about this movie, and so whatever. Long story short, I ended up doing it, and I fell in love with acting again, and so thanks a lot. No, but I did. I got the bug back, so I went back to my music agents, and I was like, okay, if you guys, since they had an acting department too, I was like, okay, right, I got the bug back. If you guys... I think I want to get back into this world again, because I had such an amazing time. The cast was amazing. The crew was amazing. And it just, I just love the whole process of it. So
it was really enjoyable, especially that day that we filmed.
That day.
Yeah.
The reason why I actually liked the movie was just because that one day we worked together.
Yes. And you were just so happy to be in a Lions Club in Simi Valley when it was 6,000 degrees.
Yeah. Was that the Moose Club?
Yeah. Was it Moose Lodge?
Moose Lodge with a lot of... Yeah, interesting people.
Yes.
They're great.
Yes.
They were getting drunk at like 2 p.m. or like noon, I think, or maybe before noon.
They were the actual members of this club were in the film too?
Well, they couldn't close the Moose Lodge. So we were filming on one side and the lodge was sort of in quiet operation next door. But you couldn't run the air conditioning while the cameras were going, and it was truly one of the hottest days of the year. So sure. I thought maybe the whole Moose thing was just not good. Let's change topics. We're talking too much about the Moose Lodge. We'll probably be sued by the Loyal Order of Moose.
Well, I did want to ask you a question. You said you met the artistic creative team, and was this through a big audition process, or how did that happen?
I think my manager sent me the script and was like, the director and producer want to meet with you, and so I met with them and we talked about everything, and I don't know, I just fell in love with the project.
I don't want to speak for Petty, but if I remember correctly, given a conversation that we had earlier, he had said that you were actively looking for an actress who was a singer, an accomplished singer, and a songwriter who would not have to fake that aspect of the character. So I know that that was a primary element in seeking Caitlin.
I think they found me on YouTube.
Really? Where people find most things
these
days.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's interesting you say that, because agencies now today you know, the agencies for actors actually have YouTube departments where they are assigned to an agent that's assigned to scout.
And those people are making bank. Some people that I know that have YouTube accounts and they're like, they do little comedy sketches and this and that. They're making millions and millions of dollars. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. No, and I think that if you don't go on YouTube, you should certainly go to Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world.
Totally.
I think that'd be a good thing to add on there.
Thank
How was your experience with working with Caitlin? Did you enjoy it? You said it was only a couple of days, right?
Yeah, but it was fun because it was, you know, on Housewives, we shoot about six pages a day. And I had to work at the first 3 days of shooting because I was going back to work on Housewives. So it was right around the 4th of July. So you're right, it was July in Simi Valley. It was very comfortable. So we did, I think, 11 pages the first day or something like that.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was all with Caitlin. So thank God she was prepared and professional and fantastic. So it was really easy.
But James was a big a-hole on the other hand.
Wow. Well,
just kidding.
What'd you expect? Come on. My reputation preceded me.
Whatever you do, don't say asshole. Whatever you do. Because that would be inappropriate.
Yeah. So we had a blast because all my stuff is I play the owner of the karaoke bar. And
you're Slim. It's Slim's bar.
Yes. Right. And Caitlin works for me.
Right.
So all my stuff was in one location, so it was easy to do. And we had a lot of fun in there. So all the karaoke bar stuff, I'm in, which is fun.
And initially in the first, there were a lot of karaoke singers that there was going to be maybe a whole montage of singers that they used very, very little of.
Yeah, they just ended up not needing that many, but it was fun to watch them shoot it. It was hysterical.
Mm-hmm. That'll be a killer DVD extra.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
All of the other karaoke.
And your full number, in fact.
What?
Your the full gray suit number.
With the water ballet and everything?
Yeah.
Is that
so we'll all be
that in the European cut?
Yes, in the DVD extras. Yeah, they'll all be there.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah. Let's give the. I'm going to give this up again for the upcoming screening of Karaoke Man in St. Louis. Once again, Saturday, November 19th, 4 o'clock at the Tivoli Theater. That's 6350 Delmar Boulevard in St. Louis. And tickets are available online. Tickets.landmarktheaters.com. Once again, tickets.landmarktheaters.com. I wish I could go. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I just want to bring it on one more time at the Center Theater Group, ladies and gentlemen. Amundsen Theater now through December 10th. It is going on tour throughout North America, 13 cities. So make sure that you keep an eye out for that. But at the Amundsen here, you can get tickets by simply calling 213-972-4400 or going online at centertheatergroup.org.
And I don't think while we're plugging, I don't think we actually formally plugged the... Is it Karaoke Man the Movie for the website? KaraokeManTheMovie.com?
Yep.
So as soon as people go up and look up the proper spelling of karaoke...
Yes.
It's KaraokeManTheMovie.com.
What? Karaoke.
K-A-R-A-O-K-E. Yep.
Okay.
But you don't say it like that, so that's why it's confusing.
Right.
Excuse me.
But there's also a great Facebook page for Karaoke Man. So go online to Facebook and search Karaoke Man and find it there. And there's a wonderful variety of things. Kind of a shortage of photos, especially of the cast, but not here.
Michael mentioned the trailer is really...
Oh, yeah.
Very great representative of the movie. Yeah. So it's on YouTube. Easy to find.
Yeah.
And that's a good point. Representative of the movie.
You know some trailers, you've seen the movie, or that's all the good stuff is in the trailer.
Right.
This trailer's fantastic, though. Yeah. I was really surprised when I saw it because it's rare that you see a trailer that doesn't either tell too much of the story or represent a movie that it's not.
It's a great appetizer.
Yeah.
It's a great appetizer.
As I said, it kind of sucks you in right away.
Yeah.
You know, it gets you.
Yeah. So we got a little time left, Michael. Should we baptize our two guests?
I think so. It's only proper fitting, indeed, and just right, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, share what we do.
All right. So
I'm
you know.
Scared. I'm a little scared.
Can you do that with your shirt on, Paul?
Yes.
I've already been baptized.
Can we wade into the holy water with your clothes on?
Just put on the Napoleon suit, Jamie. Just put it on.
Actually, you
okay,
want
his
clothes on.
Okay, an obscure sexual predilection I didn't expect anyone to get. Go ahead, Michael, sorry.
Caitlin, are you ready to share one of your most awkward, perhaps embarrassing moments on the in theater, in film, in television, on the stage while you were singing?
Okay. Well, it was a few years ago, and I went to an open mic night because I was trying to practice singing my songs and just... you know, in front of people. And I was so nervous, and it was kind of a new song, that I literally just forgot the words at the chorus. Like, so I did I got through actually half of it, did the verses and the chorus, and then it was the bridge. I totally forgot. So I got to that point, playing and singing, and then I just stopped and froze. and I didn't say anything, and it was like cricket, cricket, cricket. And then the person who had the microphone in the back, who was like announcing people's names, they were like, there's other people waiting to sing, you know.
Oh God.
And I was like, oh, sorry. And then my boyfriend at the time, oh yeah, just like that, it was like that. And then my boyfriend at the time like helped me, and he started singing the bridge because he knew it, he knew the words. And so then I kind of did it. So then right when I was done, I was like trying not to cry. I said, thank you. And then as I hopped off stage, I hit my head on this thing. Oh. I don't even know what it was or where it came from. It was just something that really hurt.
Nice.
And I screamed in front of everybody after it already embarrassed myself. I hit my head and then screamed. And then I started bawling. Oh, and I just started crying. And I was like, I'm never, I hate this. I hate singing. Oh my gosh, you have really good sound effects.
That's all we have. We actually recorded the night of that performance.
Oh, really? Wow.
We were there.
It's actually
wow,
you.
Wow, that's creepy.
It
was your crickets and your screaming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Including the cricket that ate Manhattan. Did you hear the size of that cricket?
Big cricket,
75-foot cricket. That's it. It never fails, though. Something goes wrong, and the dominoes just continue. It's like, okay, I forgot it, but I get past it. Bam, hit your head.
Yeah.
Scream. It's just, it never fails.
Yeah.
It's always all together.
Yeah. So anyway,
what's yours?
God, how do you top that?
And
also, where do you start? I had a really great one.
I was at this open mic night.
Thank you.
Heckling this singer who couldn't remember the words.
Who had gone up on her words.
Poor you
kid.
Were that jerk.
Poor kid.
I told you he was an a-hole.
No.
Just kidding. He's amazing.
it's so disingenuous. one was in a play that Mike Petty wrote when we. Character hangs himself on stage, and my character has to take him down.
Oh, I was
battling
in Walked Monk.
Yeah,
I was there that night.
The night that I couldn't get him down, or he felt. I think I couldn't get him down. But anyway, it went horribly wrong, and it was like the longest 2 minutes of your life on stage. But all of mine, I've been pretty lucky on stage. But I did one time, and this is going to be hard for anybody to believe that I'd take my job seriously. But I love theater. I mean, you know, that's where I came from. That's
very
the only reason
so.
I'm an actor. I kind of put up with you know, being on camera to make a buck. But so it's not that I don't take theater seriously. But there was a run of a show in Chicago that was the show was way too long, and we were deep into the run. To make a long story short, the action would freeze on stage, and other things would happen. I dozed off on stage in a performance, leaning against a post, Petty can believe, and anybody that knows me can believe it, because it has nothing to do with my lack of respect for theater. It's just who I am. I fall asleep all the time. And I dozed off. And you know that feeling you get when you're in class and you doze off, if you remember, and you would wake up and sort of startle, like, oh, am I busted by the professor or whatever?
Yeah.
Or by your wife during sex when you nod off.
Oh, gosh.
Not me.
No. When I have sex with James Brooks.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Remember, Paul, when you fell asleep that time?
Yes.
But we
were both trying to watch NASCAR. So.
No, but we were set up in a way that I could see it over your shoulder.
Oh, gross.
You did crush my cigarettes.
they were already wet.
Oh, man.
Anyway,
there's
that
a female in this room.
Oh, sorry.
That was the most frightening, because you wake up, and I was probably asleep for 2 seconds, but you're terrified that it's a different scene or what am I supposed to have been doing. That was probably the worst, but I've done it all. I've cut my finger open on stage, and blood is pouring out of my hand, and I'm trying to continue a scene, and I had to chew tobacco in a Western play I did, and I gagged on it, and I'm gagging I need the Heimlich maneuver during the scene, but theater, it just, you keep going.
Okay,
so,
I gotta
and this other time.
I got to piggyback this one because I fell asleep on the train in Chicago standing up. And I have to stand up to show you this. I'm going to pull the microphone up because it's a visual thing.
Oh, God.
I fall asleep when I'm on the train.
You realize this is only going to work for us.
And well, you know, but it helps me tell the story.
Everyone, he's standing up right now.
Yes, he's standing
Paul's
up.
Paul's standing. He's really tall.
And I hang on to the pole and I fall asleep standing up.
He's holding his fist, and he's holding a pole right now.
His fist is in the air.
Like you said, normally when you fall asleep and you do that jolt back because you're nervous, don't ask me why I made this sound or accompanied it with this gesture, but this is what I did on the train in Chicago, full train, rush hour, fall asleep, just like this.
Hey!
Top of with the your
you just
safe
did an umpire
gesture.
Safe signal.
Yes. And then,
and screamed what, Hank?
Hey, just hey.
Hey,
just like that can't be humiliating enough. Immediately launch into an explanation for everyone on the train why I did it. So it's like, hey, you know how when you're sitting down and you fall asleep and you jolt back? people on the train are like,
all staring at you.
Crazy one in car B.
And he's turned that into, hey, lady.
Hey, hey this lady. This woman with a hey was just hey. Sorry. But that, you know, I mean, do I have time to tell my one big embarrassing moment?
Oh, please
moment?
Do.
Sure.
I've told it on a previous radio show, but it will go with me to my grave, right?
Yes.
14 years old, 15 years old, touring in the musical Bye Bye Birdie. If you know the plot, it starts in New York. There's a transition. It goes into Sweet Apple, Ohio, where Conrad Birdie is going to make a personal appearance, kiss this girl. Mm-hmm. And we're doing it here at the Santa Monica Civic Auditorium, which in that time was a big theater in the round, 3,000 people all around the stage. And in the transition of this moment from New York to Sweet Apple, Ohio, it was done on stage with a strobe light. And we're all dressed, all of the kids are all dressed in black, you know, suits and looking very New York. And we underdressed in the Sweet Apple, Ohio clothes. So the when the lights went into a strobe effect, the dressers would come up the aisles onto the stage and very quickly snap all of our, you know, outerwear off, and underneath would be the clothes for Sweet Apple. So I was standing there in my, on the reveal, standing there in my red sweater and my white shirt, and I had an American flag, and I was waving it, you know, quite vigorously, and I looked down, and I was standing there in a dance belt.
Yes.
Now, I might say for one part of the audience, they got a great show, but the other part,
Sweet Apples!
Yeah. And I had no idea, and the dresser had no idea, because if it happened, you had literally, like, you know, 10, 12 seconds to make this change.
So how quickly did you notice?
When the lights came up and
oh, as soon as the lights came up.
When the lights came up, and then I saw the expression on some people in the audience that you could see in the first couple of rows, very confused.
That's an odd choice.
But I like it.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's
so, that was my most awkward moment.
It has been a pleasure having both of you on the show.
Indeed.
I know it's just Caitlin
Thanks
and
for
Jamie.
Having us.
Caitlin.
And Petty, thank you for joining us and sitting in. We're very, very grateful.
Our mute director in the
We
corner.
Are going to sign off with a little more of Caitlin with Mount Everest once again. This is from Karaoke Man, which we'll be showing this Saturday night.
And she's got a new album. She's got an album out, too.
Yes.
Right?
Well, no, she's working on the second one, but the first one is available through your website. I'm
and
sure it's
iTunes
on,
and
all the
that.
Other
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, go and buy it.
It's called Flaws, F Flaw with a Z instead of an S, and it's CaitlinCrosby.com. Check out the Facebook page for Karaoke Man.
Thank
and
you so much.
This is Mount Everest.
Sterling and Paul Strolley, right here on LA